Okay, so we're going to do our beginning stories, and who would like to go first? Maybe you should, Patrick, since
but
this.
I'm unprepared for this one.
Yeah, maybe you should, Patrick, since this was your idea about present tense.
Well, then I'll do mine. Mine's, and it's way shorter, or somewhat shorter, than the original origin story. And I really have to work at making it present tense and first person.
Yeah, I would imagine that's difficult. I will be honest.
Hey, you guys, let's back up one. Where did the present tense thing come from again? Was it it was written in here, yeah?
No, that was Patrick's idea to give it a try.
Uh-huh. Oh, I thought it was something we read.
No.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think so. Was it, Patrick?
I don't remember it. I don't remember it being something else. No.
So either way will work, you know, if you can pull it off and do it in present tense, that's fine. And if you can't, you know, we may find that that's almost too difficult.
I thought that it was that.
Simone, your pills are very loud.
Because it was particularly after reading, you know, going over my original version. Actually, I found more than that. One version.
Okay, so we're with Patrick.
Okay, present tense. I am known as Gabriel, and I am both a messenger, and the life I live is a message itself. The name comes from an ancient legend in which Gabriel was known as an intermediary between humankind and God, when it was commonly understood that if people would accept guidance from God, they could transfigure themselves to live as God themselves, and be in possession of and have full access to the memory of everything that had ever been. Having access to such memory had the effect of bestowing an ability to open up doorways between dimensions and access passages to other worlds and time. Such discernment came to be known as judging in goodness, where all is revealed and nothing is hidden. I saw that people denied themselves access to the knowledge of all things and have little or no awareness of what has come to be known as mind, the collection of data and information relating to everything that ever was. These understandings came to me as I sought to thoroughly understand about the functioning of the universe, and it is my function to show others to who they really are and offer support in their realizing or making real who they have declared themselves to be. I continue to work with other people and offer help to them to release themselves from the blocks they have imposed on realizing their heritage and fully living who they are, privileged beings, privileged to live as they truly desire. In working with others, I give myself a sense of community and a meaningful experience of being alive. Here we are.
So how do you feel about that story, Patrick?
I really like it from the point of view that it reflects where a lot of my attention is and has been now for several months. That I'm quite comfortable now with being a messenger and a message in the way in which I live my life. I am often really astonished the degree to which people will fight to protect the blocks that they've created in their lives. And I find myself trying to be as creative as possible to help people move around or through or over their blocks. And I'm spending 2 to 3 days every week with a great deal of time and focus on offering, thinking, writing. This really reflects where I'm at. And it's probably the best part of it that I enjoy the most is that in doing all this, working with others, I am really giving myself a sense of communion and I really feel like I'm living an experience, a meaningful experience.
Yeah,
that's what I think about it.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for Patrick?
No, I have a useful offering that's a little off the subject, but in passage 16, right after the section where you did your story, it says, did you start with some vision of long ago and far away? Or did you start with today at this moment?
Well, that's right, yes.
That's where we got that from. So, Patrick, how did you write this story? What was your process for getting it on paper?
Well, I went to my original story, that was a long time ago in a planet far, far away.
Okay.
And it went from there. That's how it was originally written.
Yep.
And it was written as a narrative describing what was going on, but it wasn't first person. And so I just simply eliminated what I thought was superfluous of the long time ago, far, far away, and parents astonished to have a child born.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yep. And I just, okay, that may be still origin. But writing it in present tense, that I'm alive in this way now, and I just looked at what I've been doing. It took me a while to really get as comfortable as I am now about the notion of Gabriel and the message and messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got comfortable with that, then it was, I just wrote about what's going on in my life right now, the amount of time that I am spending working with others, either directly or through writing, or planning for a meeting and researching stuff to have ready for a meeting. Yeah, it was, I just wrote about what was going on right now.
Okay.
I didn't understand before why we should read it. Write it in present tense, but when you explain now how you feel and the process, I can understand it very well.
Oh, good.
Because the how do I say it? We are the loner body and the eternal self in one. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah. And that's why it makes so sense to write it in present tense, and in present tense, in first person, yeah.
So you think it makes sense to read it in first person? I thought it didn't make sense to write it in first person. Maybe that's why I was listening to some preconceived ideas, and that's why I didn't understand what we were going to do.
Mm.
Actually, I meant present tense. Yeah,
that's what I meant to say, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, my impression, especially when I was going back over what I wrote however many years ago, was that it was something that was separate from me. It was an interesting story, but it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And by bringing it into the present tense and being first person, it is me. It's not something I want to be or I'm aspiring to. It's me. I got the value out of it because it really, it's not something that was separate from me.
So my question is, how long did it take you to write this, Patrick?
All told, at most 30 minutes, probably 20 to 30 minutes. In three sessions.
Okay.
So it wasn't a lot of time.
Okay, because do you guys remember the instructions that were in the book? It was like, be brief,
yeah.
Spend no more than 10 minutes doing this.
Yeah.
So there's no time for flowery or words or vague language or any of that stuff, to get right to the point. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that is what you did, Patrick?
Well, most of the time was making sure I was consistently present tense and first person.
Okay.
I was quite amazed, actually, when I'd read it again and say I left third person in, or past tense. But I got all that. That used up more time than actually constructing the content. It was making sure I got all the tense in first person.
Yeah, it becomes a little tricky in the present.
Why is that?
For exactly the reasons that Patrick just said. Just that it's easier to write it in past tense than it is to write it now and the future kind of thing.
Well, what if you were to write a present tense story that did not jive with what you're currently doing? What would that show?
That you're in conflict? In struggle?
Wait now.
Thinking one thing and doing another?
All right, that's fine. Let me ask a different question. What if in writing the present tense you work hard to keep it in, like, consistent with what you're doing instead of just let it flow?
Then you might stifle yourself.
You might what?
Stifle yourself. Throw roadblocks in your way. Not allow the true essence of you to come through.
Okay.
I think that if you get yourself too caught up in the tense, that, as you say, the flow might really be interrupted, and it might not really be as you truly feel would be your essence, your story, your being, your thing.
Yeah. Okay. A part of why I'm asking this is because, yeah, I don't know what you guys recall. I don't even know if it matters what we recall. It just seemed that there was a, like, I don't think that the story I ended up doing, if I went through some of my notes when I was looking for the story from the gathering in 2008, and I think that mine, like, was not what he wanted. I can't remember the reasons. I just remember a long, long discussion about, you know, what was written and, you know, dissecting it and stuff. And, sorry, is that me staticking? I don't know. But it just made me think about this thing about, apparently I did a number of drafts and I really tried to walk the tightrope to get it to where, you know, he was trying to get it to go. And I was just wondering if that ended up being an honest portrayal, or if it ended up, go back to the, you know, original one I did and just say, well, what is this saying? Or what is this showing? Even if it doesn't seem to make sense, what if I assume that it does? And from what Misty was saying, I don't know if I can.
Well, then why don't you just try to write one now that doesn't have anything to do with any of those, unless it does?
Well, what I was coming to in some of this stuff is, my impression from these things is these stories really do tell you something about the person. I mean, like, in an intimate way that I have never before experienced. It's a question of just understanding. It's like if I have a piece of the puzzle of this person, I mean, not that they're a puzzle, but just what's the image? Where does this piece go? Then I can know some things, really intimate things about this person. But you may disagree with that. I think you were around for a lot more of the discussion than I was.
Perhaps. But the specifics of that discussion I can't pull.
Oh, and it's not a specific, it's just what your general, you know, understanding of this thing is.
Well, I think that in this exercise, it was just to get a very basic just feel of what your story is. Not in,
I thought it was just our basic beginning.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So Patrick could expand his story, or?
That is expanded.
Yeah, I think that his is even.
What I did.
I think his is even more expanded than what Roger was trying to get at in this exercise.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What I did is I took the principles of the original story I wrote and looked at how is that original story showing up in my life today. My original story had me being born with an awareness of everything through time and space. I'm doing past life readings. I'm working with people. I'm showing that they are eternal privileged beings. Or offering that to them to see what they may take or not take.
Are those all doing?
What's that?
Is that like a doing?
Yeah, I switched it from. What I'm actually doing today, rather than that where I come from, what am I doing today? And I switched it to present tense. How is that stuff I wrote about all those years ago showing up in my life today?
Oh, okay. Thank you. That helps me understand a little bit more about what it was that I was hearing. Okay.
My question to you, Andrew, what would you like to be more intimate in the story, or?
No, not at all. I mean, this stuff is like, as far as I'm concerned, this is butt naked intimacy. It's just a question of, I don't think people realize how much they're vomiting themselves when they do stuff like this, provided they just really do it and don't try to, like, it's not a contrived story. It's not safe, it's not, you know, you don't color in the lines or whatever. It's just a question then is to me, like, there was a number of, like, I think Misty had talked to us about this a couple of months ago, like, there's, like, certain kinds of, like, types of dreams. Like, one is what a person, like, I don't know, like, one's an attaboy type of dream, and one's a struggling type of dream, and so to me it was just as these stories came out, I was just wondering, okay, so what type of story is this? What part of this person's being are we talking about? What part of their past?
Uh-huh.
Their beginning story.
Okay.
So Misty,
So what?
Are you finished?
Huh? Yep. I wondered if Misty had her son, so
yeah, but mine's very short and very, you know, it was like.
Well, mine's short too.
Just jot it down and be done with it. Don't even think about it. Just let it rip.
So I wondered what yours was.
Okay, here's mine. Ready? My name is Experiata. Today, at this moment, I realize I came to Earth to show myself and others through our songs. I carefully listen to a personal being when I meet them and find their melody and share it with them in whatever type of song or melody that is accessible to them. Some may realize their song immediately, others come to embrace it more with time. Still others may never allow themselves the experience of embracing their song in full symphony. That's it. Very short.
Do you feel like that's very telling?
Well, is it telling to you?
I think it is. I was just wondering how you felt about it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that what I do is I try to help people realize why they came here and what they're doing and how to help them express that. Yes, how to sing their song in full you know, grandeur.
So, Misty, it sounds to me like you took the story you had written previously and simply put it in present tense.
Well, the one that I wrote previously was much more involved and entangled and everything else, and I never looked at it. I just let it rip.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
Nope. Never looked at it, never touched it. I don't even know where it is. I'd have to go searching.
It's in this book, I think.
I'd have to go searching for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't find mine either. But maybe I did put it away because I felt at that time that I failed terribly. Yeah.
Well, let's not have that going on.
You failed yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have to deal with the bird, guys. I'll be right back.
Do that. Thank you. I'd be much obliged. We might hear his ending story.
He's persistent.
Yes.
He
has something to say about all this, yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Sense, did you write a story?
She said yes at the beginning.
Oh.
That's what I understood.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I'm
you,
back.
Why don't you read your story?
Okay. Hold on. I'm charging my phone. I got to go over to... Okay. Here we go. The title is My Abiding Remembrance. Today at this moment, I re-remembered of a vision journey of long ago that is now, and also far, far away, that is actually everywhere, framed in a time of timelessness with no beginning and no end. Floating in the sleepless space with the stars, I am an eternal inspiration with eyes, that's E-Y-E-S, / capital I apostrophe S. I can see the other eyes, same thing, E-Y-E-S, / eyes apostrophe S. And I did not recognize them, but I could feel that I knew them. This remembrance of the allness, awareness, can be described as two conditions of godness. One is physical, and this consists of the constituents of the material ways of the universe, such as, but not limited to, the stars, planets, dust, gas, galaxies, matter, gravity, thermodynamics, magnetism, and radiation, labeled as physics and astrophysics, and also known to me as light matter and light energy. The second condition of godness is the complementary opposite of condition one and can be described as non-physical, and thus, and this consists of the constituents of the communicative ways of the universe, such as, but not limited to, thoughts, intuition, intention, inspirations, and imagination, labeled as virtual and spiritual, and also known to me as dark matter, dark energy. The communioning and communion of these complementary opposite conditions of godness decrete the third condition, the third option of godness nas, the soup of communication of all things physical and non-physical, everything and everywhere in communication at all times with all else. In a moment of positive discontent, being in the form of all-knowingness and some know thingness, all eyes made a decision of intention which led to a transformation to inspire creation, a place to come alive and leave all knowing hidden, thus come to a physical place to experience stuff. Seeing how we eyes are self-nurturing and capable of self-replication, we join together to envision and thus create a place where we have a structural platform in which to exist and come alive to experience things relative to those structures which support my abiding communion along with all else. Where the ways of all conditions of godness could accrete and coalesce into a place where time became a tool to measure events and help support a platform of creativity empowered by each own eternal inspiration of infinite intention, as intention is self-empowerment for free will to unfold and supply the power to transform and manifest. Thus, allowing unlimited choices, expressing as an eternal, infinite, all-inclusive multiplicity of oneness, all connected, yet singular and unique. And so here I am, and so are you, an abiding being being abiding.
Man, you way lost me.
So it took me about 15 minutes to just scribble it all out. I didn't really even think about it. It just all kind of, you know, came filling out. And then probably another 15 minutes to actually write it so I could read it. So for me, it encompasses my past, present, future, timelessness, now, everything, all in a little ball.
But I didn't understand it.
So if you were to bring it down
thank you
into
for sharing
a,
it. I,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just saying thanks for sharing it. I appreciate hearing it.
So thank you. So what I realized, you know, after I wrote it, is when I'm coaching others, I'm basically in a long roundabout way describing what I just read to you. This was all succinctly, so of course it takes quite a while for people who aren't, you know, on our calls and doing whatever living to grasp. But so anyway, that's just what came out. I didn't really think about it much. It was like, okay, what's my story? Because my first story, of course, got burned up in the fire. So, I was just like, okay, what's my story? And I just took a deep breath, and the pen just started writing, and that's what all came out.
So if you were to summarize that in a couple of sentences, what would your summary be?
It would be, I remembered the vision of long ago, but it's now, and it was far, far away, but actually it's everywhere, and the constituents of the conditions of godness support me being an abiding being abiding.
Okay. Did that help at all, Sharon?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to question
or
say?
Yeah, just a personal question. Percent, how much of your life do you find that you spend, like, thinking about, stars, planets, being out in space, or things of that, things that are in that, topic, if you will?
Are you talking about out in space, or are we talking about both physical and philosophy?
Well, that's a good question. I just started with out in space, and I was going to go from there. But because you had put it in there, I was just wondering how often your mind goes to things of that area, that of interest.
I would say a lot throughout the day, because everything I do is commingled with that.
Everything you do commingles with what specifically?
Talking, when I'm being, where I live, I look out at all the stars all the time.
Okay.
I'm also in the astronomy club, but I don't study it. It's more I ponder about the ways of the universe and the condition of Godness.
That's exactly what I was asking. Thank you. Just curious. I didn't ever know that about you, so I thought that that stuck out to me as information about you that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
Gave me a little picture,
so really
maybe, of what's going on.
Yeah, so I'm really thankful of the exercise because I've never really tried to sit down and really, you know, put it all in a four. If I think about this stuff all day long and I'm coaching people all day long on phone calls, just even if I'm in the store, wherever I am, it just seems like I'm doing it. And I never really stopped to really capture the whole grand picture into a couple, you know, pieces of paper. So thank you, Roger and Misty, for stimulating my thinking. Or actually, I don't even know if it was my thinking. It's more of just my, what do you do that when you're intuitive writing? It just pops out.
Automatic writing?
Call it, automatic writing. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any other question or suggestion or anything else for a percent?
One last question.
Okay.
So percent in your life, have you, I mean, I don't know how to ask this again. Maybe I don't want to ask this as a yes, no, so I'm just going to ask it as a, in what ways? In what ways have you maybe had challenges or difficulties living the, I guess, the grandeur of that in everyday life? How and in what ways might you have had challenges or difficulties in living the grandeur of the sense of that whole story in everyday life?
Well, when I realized everything is all perfect, then the challenges become creative outlets of inspiration for an unfoldment of something moving on. So the struggles and challenges are just like the fire. I mean, I could have let that be a big challenge and a struggle, but actually it's turned out to be really a great phenomenon. So I don't know what to say in this sense.
All right.
Okay. Who else would like to read their story?
Well, am I the only other one that did one?
I don't know. Did Karen do one?
No, I have one off the top of my head I can do, but I just...
I have my old one, but I'm reducing it down to something succinct. I missed that part, so it's quite long-winded, and I would actually love to do that, to rewrite it.
Well, why don't you do that for next week, and we'll go over it next week.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Sharon, go ahead and do yours.
Okay, it's completely different from what you guys have done, but I understood that we were just supposed to be writing like our beginning, but I was originally part of the Big Bang, but have gathered the following information. Beginnings can be a blast with unexpected outcome, like a volcano creating new land. Or it can be the subtle separation of the soil as the shoot bends and pushes the surface out of the way for its new beginning, drawing in the necessary energy to emerge as an image. I did not need nor want the explosive force, but have chosen to fall out of the mother I needed to hold me long enough for me to gather the essential constituents, allowing the emergence of a physical form that would serve me well. Emerging my physical form, I have been freed of God-indentured servitude. I am free to pull energy, data, and information into me to particularize my personal being. My all-knowing, fully aware state allows me to be creative in coalescing data and information into my form for me to use as I will. Explosions probably should be rare and well-placed due to the attention explosions demand. But another way to coalesce energy and evolve into being is to collect and emerge energy consistently and replace discontent with new stories of how I am evolving my life as I choose. This awareness goes with me and is part of me. That's my story.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or suggestions or anything for Sharon?
I don't know that we've got a question, but that paints the picture that is wholly consistent with the Sharon that I know. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Patrick, in what regard?
Well, there is. I see Sharon. Kind of courageously facing the challenges, and that the somewhat violent explosions at the beginning of they sound like they're useful and productive. But she acknowledges towards the end there that they are useful, but they need to be managed. And that she then seems to say that she's now not using explosions as much as she used to, and that she's more careful about assembling the constituents. That's the kind of message I picked up from what she read to us.
Over lifetimes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I could see, like, percent levels of bringing it into present and extending it out. It's just a different way that I felt that also. And that it's maybe, who knows, lifetimes of learning how to even coalesce that energy. To bring any form.
The magic is that we do it without even knowing how to do it. We've been coalescing stuff for a long time. It's getting a hang of doing it with more elegance and ease.
And trusting it can be done.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else?
Oh.
Okay, then for next week.
Wait, sorry. Is that Simone saying no? Because I have mine. I just was letting her go first.
Oh, okay.
No. I said no.
Okay.
Thank you for the stories.
So mine was, you know, let's see. Okay, I'll tell you what mine was. This is from years ago, actually. This is the old one. But long ago and far, far away on another planet, I was, the scene starts with, it's out in like a desert environment, and I am with a group of other people. And we're performing a ceremony. The ceremony is to each of us climbs the top of a rock spire just on our own, spend time looking out into the night sky. And the purpose of the ritual is to really realize everything that we have been taught and has been studying and training for many years. And as I sit there, at a certain point, this vision comes over me of, I can just feel myself, I don't know, feel it or vision or both. I just feel myself expand out all over the place, out into space, and touches a planet or a moon, a nearby moon. and then from there bounces out and I can feel the next moon, and from there expands out everywhere. And that was it.
I remember you telling that story.
Did I tell that one at the gathering? Because I can't remember where it came up.
Well, I remember it, and especially that part about you, that you were expanding out into the reaches of space and coming in contact with other moons and other planets.
So the interesting thing about that one for me is when I went to look for it in my notes, and what I found was something I didn't expect. In my notes, I found from like later in 2008 and 2009, these efforts to rewrite it and work with Roger to understand it. And those redrafts were just a lot of words that I tell you I can't remember. I didn't even remember writing them. So those beginning stories, none of those stuck with me. The one that stuck with me is the one I just told you. I can recall it just like an experience or a dream. But the other ones I did, I was like, I use these words like, oh, I had a vision of myself, my life, that everything could be as I wanted it to be, and da 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 da. It was just so much language stuff, but there wasn't anything I could really live. I mean, it was true. I could see some truth in it, but just really actually, how would I execute that? How would I put that into my life? Or how would I could just be aware of it, but it just didn't stick.
And this one, you feel comfortable?
It has nothing to do with comfort. It's just like, it's as clear as a bell. I don't feel uncomfortable with it. It probably excites me a little bit.
Okay. Well, the question that comes to my mind is, in it sticking to you, do you feel that this is you?
Could you say it again? It was a little hard to hear. In this what?
In this sticking to you, as you said, you know, this one really stuck. Is it really you? Is this the beginning story that you truly desire? Is this the story that you want to live? If so, great. If not, then begin again. And forget
right.
about all that stuff, the other drafts that didn't stick or whatever else, and even possibly the one that did stick, because we want you to have it express your beginning story of how you feel.
Right. So I do recall that Roger had, you know, been over this with me that, you know, maybe Karen did hers the right way, I didn't do mine the way he wanted me to, so on and so forth. But the answer to your question is, this, I think, there's something about this that really does express me in terms of how I feel and what I want. So it's like, it's a story of my past that in the current lifetime I haven't yet, like I don't live it like so clearly all the time. It's not like it's an experience I have all the time, but it's something that I feel like I am heading for in this lifetime presently.
Are you heading for it, or are you just living it in less?
What I mean heading for it is knowing how to express myself that way. Like, I'm so busy with everyday stuff, I don't really have that experience all the time.
Okay.
But it's like, I have never, ever, ever given it up. It is not, I have no interest in giving it up. I sure, you know. As I recall, these stories were, you know, to give you a sense of what it is you would truly, truly, truly like to live in your life.
That's correct.
Okay. And by making it a beginning, making it a past, then it becomes real for you. As you live it, you find out you're giving it past that makes it real for you, and ta-da, there you are.
Well, as he says, you live it into your life.
Yeah. But the fact is, you know, to me, okay, so to me, that was not as contrived as the other ones I wrote. And what it did is, I think it showed a piece of me that I didn't expect, but once I saw it, it was like, oh, yeah. And so the question for me then was like, okay, this isn't like the reading Roger gave me. This isn't like most of the things I did with Forever Living. So I took it as a piece of the picture or a piece of the puzzle. Just which piece is it? Where does it go? And to me, this story talked about, like, I guess it reminds you of that question he asked us once. What is it like being you? And this is the what it's like. This would be the what is it like being me that I truly desire. And then I do all the other stuff right along in the middle of it.
Okay.
You guys, don't be afraid to ask me a question about this. You know, just if you have a question, go for it.
Well, haven't you created exactly as you desire?
What was that?
Haven't you created it exactly as you desire?
Depends on what you mean. I didn't really sit and think about this is what I really want. It just when I thought
right,
about
but
long,
your
long,
life
long,
has evolved, and that's one of the things is that I realized that I can gritch about stuff, but the fact is my life is pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I've just gritched about stuff and really ignored the fact that it really is the way I want it. It really is good. It really has been a situation where I haven't had to be terribly attached. I even chose a mother that I could fall out of and leave. You know, I didn't know her anything, you know. I don't know. I think look at your life and say, gee, is it the way you want it? Mm-hmm. If it is, then maybe you just created it that way and you didn't even realize you did it, but you did it because that is you and that's the expression of you. And you can be happy with that because it is the way you want it.
Okay, well,
otherwise
here's where we get a little... Yeah,
otherwise, you would be discontenting yourself and you'd be waking up to, okay, what is this discontent? What's not... How am I discontenting myself?
Right, here's a good question I think that... After, and maybe it takes... I don't know. Can somebody just do this thing right off the cuff? I don't know. Because one thing I think that we have to ask ourselves after doing something like this is... Okay, is this story the life that I truly desire, just flat out I desire it, or is it the story of overcoming all the things I don't desire?
I would hope that it's
well,
that as you desire.
Each one of us has to answer that.
What?
Each one of us would have to answer that. I think
that's
there
true.
Is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That there is a risk that it might be. My God, yeah, it's so humdrum now, and I want to be like this, and I'll feel wonderful then.
Yeah.
That kind of relates to the question I was going to ask. Is if I heard you correctly, and sometimes our international telephone satellites aren't the best, but it sounded like you have a sense of being alive a certain way from that story, but you're so tied up in day-to-day events that you don't get to experience that.
I think that's pretty close. If I was going to describe it, I'd say, have you ever been haunted? Meaning like something just kind of always there. Can't quite get your hands on it, but it's just always there. That's how
yep.
I feel like that. It's a haunted as a negative, but I don't mean it as negative. I just mean it's like, man, it's just always there for me.
What's always there?
It's very close to what you said. That's to have that kind of perception, to be that expansive and aware of myself and my place in the universe.
We'll call it pervasive.
A pervasive awareness?
It permeates.
A what awareness?
It permeates
a
everything.
A pervasive? Yeah, pervasive awareness?
Okay.
Is that...
That's what I'm suggesting. Instead of saying
yeah.
it's haunted, Just say it's pervasive. It's everywhere. It's always there.
But I think what Andrew's saying is that it haunts them in the sense that it seems there but not really there.
It's there, but I can't get my hands on it. It's there, but I can't experience it as clearly as I did in the story. Yes.
Maybe you're distracting yourself.
Oh, for sure. Sometimes yeah. I can't. So, hey, look, you know, one of the things that I think was really great about our last couple years of conversation with Roger, I think he made it really clear that, you know, if you want something in your life, if you want to have your sense of yourself being eternal, then you got to do something. You know, you can't just sit around and wait for it to come to you. And it's not cause and effect. It's like, hey, if you want to live your life as a standing person, then stand. Be standing. You know? If you're laying around like a couch potato, then maybe you're not going to experience yourself as a standing person.
Darn.
So, yeah, I mean, every time I'm busy, I do think that some of the things that I want to have in my life, awareness and stuff, require a bit of focused attention, which I don't often give. Or at least as not often as I'd like to. Which would be every day.
One of the things that I found, Andrew, is that I work at it. I work at trying to see the expansiveness in everything that I do. There is,
mm-hmm.
I had a really important meeting with a client for supper tonight. And instead of it, a work thing that I did, and then I could come home and get home in time to be part of this call, that it wasn't a step out of my forever living awareness. I really work at having my forever living awarenesses as I am dealing with three diverse opinions across the table from me, and I'm helping them move in a direction that they can all be comfortable with. And it's not a work assignment, and then now that's over, I can now do forever living. I've taken it to mean, if I'm to live in an eternal manner, and that has to happen 24/7, not just when I have a chance to think about it.
Yep.
And it's sometimes it's a bit of a challenge, but I've in many respects forced myself to be mindful about holding an eternal awareness. And it gets easier and easier as time goes by.
Yeah. I mean, Roger always said all you have to do is be a little schizophrenic to do this stuff.
Just a little.
But I mean, what I'm saying in that is I mean, that's not a facetious statement. I think there's some validity in it's that, you know, in a way you have to change. It's everything we talked about last week in Chronicle K. I mean, you know, your beginning story dominates your whole life and your experience.
But Andrew, I can recall hearing you talking about your experience on the bus going to work, that you've had an eternal point of view as you related with others or observed others or what you read while you're on the bus. You've indicated through some of your stories that you do put your time into it and that you do give yourself opportunities to experience yourself as an eternal being. And the puzzling thing is, how come it's so easy, I do it too, how come it's so easy to put the eternal awareness away while I go do some work? Sometimes it's really hard.
You know, my answer to that is that for ever since I met Roger, I mean, I think I became more of a like an absent-minded professor. I was just always trying to concentrate on more than one thing at once. I'm trying to live my life and at the same time reprogram, if you will, everything about what I do. And part of it is that sometimes, you know, whether that's, you know, part of this was, you know, everything I did at first, maybe, you know, not, well, yeah, not so much anymore. I had to stop and really think about what I was doing and how did this apply to, you know, what I was learning from Forever Living and stuff. And so I think part of it is that sometimes when I feel like I just need to buckle down and get something done, I put it aside.
Well, do you really, or is it just that you're not focused on it? It's still there.
That's a good question. So let's say it's like a scale, like temperature between hot and cold, and it's always somewhere in between. It's never gone. Like when I'm doing a reading, man, it's really presently there. I have those two senses of being very expansive and you know, flowing, all kind of stuff, and also experience myself sitting in the room and being aware of everything around me. And then there's other times when it's like, I'm just trying to make the deadline, you know?
But my point is that I don't think that you really do put it down. You just have to focus more intently on something that desires your attention at that moment. But I really still think that your essence, your whole being, is still very much living this.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let me ask this, Experiata, naming the tune. Is this something that you think, or is this something you sense in, like, the tune that you get from me?
I think that it's an underlying harmony that goes with the song that is you, and that sometimes a song has its really loud and impactful moments, and at other times it's very soft and very low-keyed and just going along, but it's still there.
Okay. So are you saying then that it's just that I set up this dichotomy or judgment between that I am and that I'm not?
Right, I think that what you're doing is messing yourself up by putting that into some kind of struggle, push-pull kind of thing. And I don't think that you need to do that. I think that you need to feel okay with the fact that sometimes there's just some things that you got to do. That's part of being in the physical.
Wow. Now it feels like a Monday night. Thank you. Yeah, I had never thought of that. Good point.
Yeah, I think it cannot be not there.
I agree. It is always there. But it's just, sometimes it's a softer song, and sometimes it's very explosive and very exciting, and other times it's just kind of like a meditative type music going on.
I think that's a pretty neat analogy.
Yeah, thanks. I'm definitely going to...
But I want you guys to be okay with it, realizing that you're putting yourselves into struggle and you don't need to. It's all right to go out there and feel like your focus is really on pounding a post into the ground or getting a paper done. But the underlying melody and harmony is still right there. It is right there. You don't lose it. You don't lose
it. Interesting
it.
What you say, huh? A number of the more important understandings, or I guess awarenesses I've gained in the last bunch of years with you guys has been that something like that. It's like when you stop denying the subconscious is conscious, then you can suddenly access a whole lot of stuff, including dreams and things.
It's still all going on. It's still all there.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, one of the statements I made in my paper was about collecting an emerging energy consistently instead of having to have it like these little explosive events.
Oh, yeah.
And that you can start to recognize you can actually tap into that and emerge that energy consistently, and then that's when you can actually replace the discontent. Anything that, like, just stop. and be aware that it is there.
See, but what I'm saying is you don't even have to stop. I want it to be a knowing.
Right.
That, right. That it's, that you never lose it, that it's always there. The song is always
there. But it's kind of nice to just be aware that, I mean, stop and be aware. If you have to stop to be aware, but you don't have to stop to be aware.
That's right.
Right.
Yes. I don't want you guys in struggle. I don't want you guys feeling guilty that, oh, well, right now I'm not doing that. It's not true. You
That's
still
why
are.
I ask you, how comfortable do you feel?
Yeah.
Andrew, I mean.
The answer to your question, if you're really curious about that, is I think I'm, discontent about it. Sometimes, like frequently, I'm uptight about it quite a bit. I want it to be, I want to.
So why are you discontenting yourself?
Because it's a lot like what Pat said. It's a lot like what Pat said. It's like I kind of sense that it's there. It should.
Once you channel that energy instead of fighting it and creating more chaos and discontent, once you stop fighting that, you may actually be able to recognize you can utilize that energy to be what you are. Roger kept always saying to write the story, rewrite the story, you know. And I didn't ever know what he meant, and except that everybody, when you have an accident, everybody that's at the scene has a different story about what happened. And so that's how I recognized, oh my God, all I have to do to rewrite the story is to just see somebody else's story, or just do it. Just look at it different points.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Not to take somebody else's story, but to step over and have a different view.
Yeah. Rewrite the story.
So there is question.
No discontent. Because the discontent is what we choose to discontent ourselves with.
Yeah, Misty's observation is interesting to me, to think that that is part of the struggle I have in living as an eternal being, like sensing myself as an eternal being, is that if the story and my... the way you guys have, you know, asked me questions about it, if I'm feeling and creating that separation, then that's a big part of the difficulty I have in just really understanding this stuff, living this stuff completely.
Living.
Realizing it, making it real for
me. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. I create that separation.
Because at first it's so difficult to go, really? Mm-hmm. Really?
So I guess I have a question here. So we heard each person's story was a bit different and significantly different, I guess, in some regards, in style and where you started and what it was. And so my question is, so my you know, ever since 2008 when we first did these things, I had the impression that these stories were not false. It just might not have been what Roger wanted at the time, but I'm wondering if there's a way we could understand them and, like, you know, like, where does this piece go? Where does this, what part have I just described? And put coordinates on it so you can start understanding what it is. Like, I'm not sure that the story that we all just told was the one of, you know, describe, or one that just shows you to the life you would truly like to live. Maybe it does.
It's already here.
It's obvious
not
that you'll truly like. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think.
The reason I say it's not here, I mean, yeah, it's here, like Misty says, but I'm just saying, okay, for lack of a better, I don't know how to describe this, is we wouldn't be struggling if we knew what it was like to live as we truly desire. I think a lot of times people substitute what it is living as a true desire with things like pursuing things like anything, money, satisfaction,
we discontent ourselves.
Well, you know, the first step to stopping something like that is stopping struggling.
Yeah.
Set it at ease. Let it be okay.
Whatever
you,
is.
You guys start really questioning yourselves and wondering if you're doing it right or whatever else. Your story, your way, your living, your doing. Don't
That's
let anyone...
a good message, Misty, but you got to remember, for 21 years, that was not the message that was coming across this phone at night, on Monday nights.
It was, and it wasn't. I mean, it really was. You just guys didn't quite get it the way he was saying it.
It's scary to live as you truly desire off tip of your nose when you've lived your entire life based on achieving consequences.
Well, which would you prefer?
That's a great leap.
Did you say cheating?
I said when it's off the tip of your nose, living as you truly desire off the tip of your nose is scary when we've spent most of our lives living based on achieving.
Achieving. Okay. Thank you.
Well, it comes. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think you. I couldn't get exactly what you said a few minutes ago. But it's allowing ourselves to live as we truly desire, literally off the tip of the nose. We will not make mistakes. Certainly that will it always be great or I'm not going to try that anymore, but it's a great leap to step off into the void, living on as you truly desire, because if you can't check it first, because you won't be living as you truly desire if you insist on checking the outcome first.
Right.
Absolutely true.
Particularly. That's an interesting set of... I hope you remember the way you said those words, Pat, because two things came to mind. One is, I kind of don't know what you mean by living off the tip of your nose, and so I inserted two things. I inserted that one, to try and follow you, is like, if I'm living my loner self and language off the tip of my nose, I don't suspect that I will be living as I truly desire. I think I'll be doing more of what you said, like trying to achieve a happy feeling or something, or achieve something. But, you know, when Roger was talking to us about regenerating ourselves as an eternal being, then I think off the tip of your nose, you would do only those things that you would do forever and ever.
Yeah. The neat thing about how nested everything that Roger talked about was, the one didn't lead to the other and all this kind of stuff. It was all nested together. You have to expand what you just said to include having an emprise. In having an emprise,
there you go.
The next thing you do is self-evident. That's off the tip of your nose.
Self-evident. Okay, well, as an audience member to what you just said, since that part wasn't part of your first sentence, I would have just gone off of impulse and ended up in a jam, I bet. Emprise is an important factor, I think, in what you're trying to communicate.
Oh, and that's part of the issue in working with the people I work with, is how does one talk in a nested manner, so that these details can come forth more or less together, that living self-evidently requires first a declaration of who you are, that includes being declared yourself as an eternal being. It requires declaration of an emprise. All those things coming together enables one to live confidently, self-evidently. But in the absence of any of those, there, you're right, Andrew, you're likely to be stuck with living the body and the body's impulses and the body needs to be comfortable and distracted.
Okay. So I guess it's just a matter of how you communicate what you want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you believe what you say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To me, an emprise is sort of a declaration. Is that correct?
They're very... they work together. I think when I think of declaration, I think that's declaring who I am. That's part of that declaring who I am is that I am an embodied eternal being, and a part of that's a declaration. But then, how I am in the life, the as part of me, is the emprise.
That's the same to me.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't split it up. That's why I ask. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, emprise is more like you're doing.
Yeah, what was emprise again? Something you can't accomplish in one lifetime or
that's
something?
That's right.
Or?
That's your doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that you could not complete in a lifetime.
Yeah, because to me, emprise was always like, okay, so... Well, like, so for me, it was like, okay, so yeah, I understood... You know, living and expressing all things in fineness or judging all things in goodness, and you could do that sitting on a rock in the middle of a field. But emprise always put it to me in a motion, in action, and something you could feel like thrust and momentum and context for how and where you were going and what you were doing. I don't know if it was like promise or promise was even different.
Well, that's why I always said that emprise is a doing. Yeah, emprise is always to me a doing. In action.
And the doing is an ongoing confirmation of your declaration?
It can be.
I think that's the way I see it. And I wanted to ask if this is okay.
You can certainly live it that way, yes.
Okay.
Does anybody else have anything they want to say on this matter?
Just that it sure led to some fascinating discussion here.
Yeah, we had a lot of gas in that one. I would hope that any continued discussion would be more open. Like, I kind of feel like everybody was holding back a bit. I'd like everybody to just be more comfortable with asking questions of each other. Don't be afraid to disagree or challenge or something like that, just to see what's going on.
So where does that come from?
That I just... There wasn't a lot of discussion, I guess, on some of the stories. For myself, I was feeling like, okay, if I touch that one, the person might get a little, defensive about it. So I didn't ask some of the questions I could ask.
So why were you holding yourself
back? No, you were holding back.
Yeah.
Sure. Hey, we've never done this before. I mean, Roger was always just kind of, he would set the tone, and so I didn't know how we want to do this.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little bit more feeling my way along in this one.
Well, I'm not Roger.
So what are the questions? What are the questions you didn't ask?
It would be...
We'll pretend you didn't ask them.
What?
We'll pretend you didn't ask him. We will pretend.
Did nobody else? But did nobody else feel like you had a question for somebody you didn't ask because you're a little not sure how this is
going to
go?
I'm just teasing you.
No, I'm appreciating the stories. Maybe okay. When I have it written in front of me, that would be maybe different. Yeah.
That's how I am. I'm very much a visual kinesthetic person, not auditory.
I really got to focus on words. Auditory, if I don't have the words written in front of me.
Yeah.
So, actually, it would help me if I could read it. If you like to discuss it more, but I'm not sure if we have to discuss it. We may ask questions. That's okay for me, but. It's my story, and my story is my story.
Okay, well, so for me, I think it, like, I liked some of Missy's questions of mine, because the thing is, I think it's helpful to determine, you write a beginning story, but the way that it was, the way that the lead up to it was in K, it don't think it said write a story of the life you truly, really, truly desire. It just said, write your beginning story as you are now. So to me, the important question is, hey, is this a great beginning story? Or like as Missy said, is this one you even want to continue? Maybe it's not one you want to continue. That's all. Those kind of questions.
There I remember my question from before. Can we rewrite the story again and again in a different way?
Absolutely.
Or...
You just stand on a different part of the circle. Take a different stance, and you write it in another way.
I don't know about anybody else.
But the essence would be the same?
Yes.
So, okay.
Most likely. Unless you decide to to change your way of being.
Do completely different, yes. Okay.
Simone, I have found that through several different things that Roger had us do, including Image of God, this Superman story, or beginning story, past life regressions I've done, a number of big dreams, there are certain elements that seem to have shaken out as consistent, even though they're expressed differently in all these things.
So the golden thread.
Like that. But what it to me has been is something that says I start understanding what I'm really focused on or what I'm really about. A vision for me comes up all the time. Having vision, having a clear vision. And guess what? I wear contact lenses and glasses, right? I don't have clear eyesight. So, this is a big thing in my life.
But you do because you got it corrected.
What I'm saying is that doesn't take away the fact that it's still an issue. Right? It's an important thing in my life.
So there's more information there.
Further to what we were talking about a little bit about some of us really work better if we got the words in front of us and paper.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Patrick.
I wouldn't mind sharing mine. Karen, would you send yours out to the rest of us? Simone, when yours is ready, would you share it with us?
Sure.
Mine's ready.
Well, how about I'll send mine out tonight.
I have mine in my phone, but who do I send it to? Andrew, you send things out to everybody, don't you? Actually, I probably have everybody.
Yeah, if you just go to one of his emails, you'll be able to find all the addresses, I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah, just reply all to your email.
Okay.
We send it by email?
Sure.
Yeah, email okay. works.
Yep. Yeah, that would definitely help me.
I can certainly see where that would be the case for you, especially.
No.
Okay, then. So, since this discussion has already taken an hour and a half, I think that I'm going to just let the discussions speak for the evening and not get into doing any of the reading here, because I think it might mess with what our understandings are as we walk away. But I would hope that Karen and Simone would write theirs and get them out, and then next week we'll start with that. Unless somebody has something that they want to discuss or something else that's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I
no, sure, I do it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Me too.
Great talking with you guys.
Then I'll say good night for now.
Good night.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you.